playing slow, so we're playing through. Hosted by Bob Ballew and Carl Nicholson. Brought to you by the PGA Tour Superstore.
Good Saturday morning to you, Austin, Texas. Welcome inside another edition of Playing Through. I'm Bob Ballew.
I am Carl Nicholson. Good morning, Bob. Always
good
talking
golf
with you. I'm doing well.
Yeah, absolutely. What's going on?
No complaints. You know, the temperature's dropped. I'm a little uneasy on multiple fronts now. We just recently installed a swimming pool in the backyard, and we've had a solid week of decent swimming, but we know that's quickly coming to an end, so we don't want it to happen too quickly. And I'm not a mudder. I'm not a cold weather player. I'm not a wet weather player necessarily. So I always say every year I'm going to grind it out and play golf in the 50-degree weather and just whatever it is, I'm just going to stick my chin out there and play and not complain about it, just dress for it. But it's not in my DNA. It's just
The
reality is I'm getting nervous. Yeah, the reality is it's coming.
Well, it's funny. So this coming Tuesday is the renowned Escondido Golf and Lake Club Media and Raiders Day. And J.J. Wagner, the GM out there, and Brian Nylander and director of golf and all the guys out there that have made that such a special place have us out to get to experience it, and then we get to review it and do all the kind of things that you do, you know, when you're talking golf and going through that stuff. And so, you know, we're looking at the weather to see, you know, it's been so nice. It's been 75, 80 degrees, whatever. Well, Tuesday, the high is supposed to be like 53. We're supposed to get a cold front, and Tuesday, Wednesday is going to be terrible, and it's going to go back to 75 on Thursday. Of course. And I think it was like that 2 years ago when we went out there. It was just atrociously cold. But it's fine. Again, you're playing a great golf course. I'm with you. Like, I would much prefer 75 and sunny, and I prefer 100 to 30. So, you know, I'm much rather playing hot conditions than cold. But it does allow me to break out the pink pants. So that's good too. I've got, you know, some fun. I got a Missouri Tigers pair of pants. I got some pink pants. I got all kinds of stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's always fun to go out to Escondido and get to play out there, Horseshoe Bay, and, everything, all the courses there are just amazing. So, you know, it's fun to get that trip out there for a little bit and just get away for a couple hours, and go play some golf. And it's to me, that's the fun part of rating that course is it's pretty much 5 stars or 10 out of 10 or whatever numerical system you want to use. It's pretty hard out there to go wrong with anything out there.
You know, we were spoiled all my years with Dave Pelz. Dave Pelz did a marketing promotion with them when they were just building Escondido. So we got quite a few privileges out there through the years. Not carte blanche by any means. I mean, it is what it is. It's an ultra high-end private property out there. But you do fall in love with a golf course, and it's never been – like you said, it's never gone down from 10 out of 10 condition-wise. The greens are always running beautifully. It's just a I wouldn't call that a quintessential hill country golf course, but it has tons of character everywhere you go. It's very well designed. It takes great advantage of the roll of the land, and it's just neat. It's just a special place. The service is as good as anything. They do all the little touches to make it special, and their members are so proud of it. That's always a good mark of it is how proud the members are to be there and be a part of it and represent that when they go back to wherever they live. You know, more and more people are moving out there too, but that's always a good time. And like I say, that's the one thing that kind of counteracts how cold it is. You know, you just bundle up, but you're not going to turn down an Escondido invite if it's 40 or 50 degrees. You're going to make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've got the snack houses.
Oh yeah.
You know, they've got those at the turn. You can get any kind of barbecue. They cook that stuff up right there on number in between 9 and 10, and that is just phenomenal. So you can't go wrong. I mean, I've been lucky to get out there a couple of times and get to play it in this you know, media and Raiders Day, and it's phenomenal. I mean, it just is. And you know, we're lucky to have a lot of places that in the Austin area and the Hill Country that are great places to get to go play golf, and that's right up there. So that'll be a fun day on Tuesday. I haven't played golf in 5 weeks.
Wow.
And played yesterday for the first time in 5 weeks. Getting to actually play a little bit more. We finally got my daughter back into daycare after 7 months. So that was a nice little breather for my wife and I as we take care of our 2-month-old at home. And, you know, I try to let her get out of the house when she can, try to get her a happy hour here and there, and then I'll go out and play golf on Friday when I can. But, yeah, it's so good to be back playing and get to play Tuesday. I'm playing in a tournament Thursday, another tournament the following Monday, and then a tournament the following weekend, and then that may be it for a while. It's going to come and go in spurts, I think, right now. I think that's probably the fair way to put it. But yeah, it's, you know, again, it's just good to get out and do it. And you played yesterday too. You got down to Plum Creek. You know, this weather is what's hilarious to me, is because it's 83 in the morning, and then it shoots down to whatever number it got down to yesterday afternoon, and you're all over the place. I mean, you could go out there in shorts and a shirt. I actually texted buddies before the round. I was like, hey, look at this weather and what it's supposed to do, and none of them knew that was going to happen. So I kind of saved them the embarrassment of being in, you know, cold weather with shorts and t-shirt, polo, and not being able to make it. But yeah, it's crazy. It really is.
It really is. Yeah. But you just have to prepare for it. You know, like a lot of people during this COVID time, I've played a lot of golf. I mean, I've really committed to once a week, a couple of times it's been twice a week, which is quite a bit for me. I'm in the same boat as you, two kids, not as young as yours, but, I'm playing that balancing act just like you are. So that's what's happening with golf. I felt I've turned the corner on some things. I got down to Blue Jack National Wednesday, which was special. The cool thing about that is the corridors are so wide, you can hit driver on everything. Now, that would have been really sucky for me. Well, even as recently as when we played with you guys at UT Club, I just wasn't comfortable hitting driver. I've made some tweaks, had one of my best driving rounds in about 3 years, feel really comfortable with the move some weights around in the driver head and kind of made some adjustments there. And I've got something I trust, and I really felt really good for the first time in a long time about how I'm hitting driver. So I'm getting kind of gloomy a little bit as we're talking about the weather changing, because I really I feel like some things are coming around, you know?
Let me give you a good perspective on this, because I know this will maybe cheer you up a little bit. Our chief meteorologist, Chicago Windler, said the other day at CBS Austin, told us that it's going to be a warmer winter than average. So you should have, and look, there have been days it's 75 on New Year's Day. So, I mean, you know, we are not going into a snow-filled winter here, like a lot of cities around our country are. So
this is true.
Maybe that will get you a little more excited as you let's get you out of that gloom and get you into some sunshine.
You know, and I, you know, I preach it in my day job. There's so many really good indoor opportunities now, you know, in the world. I mean, the Foresight and the TrackMan and all of these simulator companies, there's really not an excuse anymore to let your game go dormant. Like you said, Texas really has some more playable days. I mean, the courses don't close down here like they do in other parts of the country.
So right.
We really don't have that same excuse other than, are you going to tough it out and, you know, dig in and play through some chilly temperatures, but yeah, stay committed to keeping your game solid through the winter months. So there are so many ways now to, counteract that. There's great mobile apps. There's great places you can go and hit indoors that are better than ever. More, you get so much biomechanical feedback, so, you know, swing and performance feedback. You can actually improve through these times. So maybe I won't be gloomy. Maybe I'll be really optimistic about those prospects. Yeah, but
you know, like they, you know, Carl, they call me the Bobtimist.
So, I love it.
You keep that positive attitude going.
Do your work. Well, you need to talk to some guys on the PGA Tour. I don't know what it is about benign, beautiful, enchanting Sherwood Country Club that's got some of the top players in the world as frustrated and put out with their games and their situations as I've ever seen. And yeah, I'm talking about Rory McIlroy. We're talking a little bit about Jordan Spieth. But what did you expect for guys to be – you know, so in their heads right now at Sherwood? I know the Masters is less than 3 weeks away, but
I mean, what's going on? The scores are low. And that's not a surprise. I think this is a combination of a lot of things. I think first and foremost, most of these guys know, other than the Masters, their season is basically over for another 2 months. And certainly they're trying to gear up and play that. They played Vegas last week. There are things that are kind of exciting that they don't normally do. I think there may be some grumpy people. If I'm Rory McIlroy, so if you didn't see it Thursday, Rory McIlroy snapped his club on 18. He hit a wedge a little right into the rough, right by the green, a little pitch shot from the green, and he hit it right into the rough, and he literally dug his club into the ground and snapped it. And that's not, first and foremost, that's not something we ever see from Rory McIlroy. I mean, never, ever, ever do we see something like that from Rory.
That's not his personality. He's not that guy.
He's not at all. And it's not great. It's not a great look. I heard Paul Azinger say, it's not a great look. It's not. But when you are as good a guy and have proven to be as good a guy as Rory, I think it's a little different. To me, this is what I took from it, Carl. If you go back to January and February, and even a little bit into March, Rory McIlroy was so far and away the best player on tour. It wasn't remotely close. He was.
It was a joy to watch. I mean, it was almost like what our parents and grandparents would tell us about watching Mickey Mantle play or Willie Mays. It was like, how could he be getting any more out of his physical instrument? I mean, he was just playing golf at such a superb level.
And then the pandemic hits, and his game hasn't been as good. I mean, I know, again, all these guys, it's stop and start, and you don't know where it's next and where you're going. But his game hasn't been as good. And I think this is all a culmination of his frustration this year with knowing what could have been and knowing just how good. Now, you got to get over that and move on, and I get that. But and maybe it has nothing to do with this. This is just a observation from the outside looking in. It just seems like he would, if somebody was going to be frustrated this year, it would be Rory, because he tore it up when he came out at the beginning of the year, and all this stopping and starting, just really, he never found a rhythm again. And I think he'll go into the Masters. I'm sure he'll have confidence going into the Masters. He's played well. It's not like he's been terrible, but I just think he kind of maybe knows what could have been this year. And there's maybe some frustration there.
I can see that, because, I mean, the sky was the limit. I mean, really, I mean, there were runs that a couple of players have had. I mean, I don't want to take Brendan Todd out of this conversation. It's not tongue in cheek. He's had an amazing year. But the level that Rory was playing at, like you mentioned, at the beginning of the calendar season, then the run that Dustin Johnson had right before catching COVID, which all of these guys have been on quite a saga in 2020, like I saw. But it's as good a golf as I think we've probably seen in a decade from either of these guys. I mean, I think Dustin maybe obviously got a little bit more out of his than Rory. And I think, again, that's the culmination of frustration for Rory, is everything he put together in the offseason was panning out. And it's hard to do that over a full season. And then he sort of kind of found it again. You know, everybody got talking about Bryson DeChambeau and adding ridiculous distance back on. Rory bought into that. I mean, every for about 2 weeks straight on Twitter, we just saw Rory in a launch monitor producing ridiculous numbers. I think he thought he was going to come out and, quickly see the gains, the translations, and maybe lead the field this week in distance and do something special on the scorecard. And it didn't pan out right away. But you never count Rory out. I think that's the thing to take away is snapping a club doesn't define his personality any more than one bad round, is going to translate to a rut for a guy like Rory that just always seems to find a way.
Yeah, and he loves backdooring top tens too. So,
that happens all the time.
I thought it was funny. We hit on Rory. This is the Zozo Championship this week. Played at Sherwood Country Club. Obviously, it's a tournament they normally play in Japan, and it's a tournament where Tiger Woods last year won his 82nd PGA Tour event, tying Sam Snead, so it certainly has some special meaning. Really has some special meaning this week to Jordan Spieth, the obviously the Texas Longhorns golfer. Jordan has a different caddy this week. Michael Greller's mom died, and so Michael is at home grieving and dealing with some of those things. And obviously our thoughts and prayers always go out to something, someone like that when something like that happens. So he's away. So Jordan's like, who am I going to get to caddy for me? I'm going to get my dad. I mean, who else, you know? I mean, it's that's who I got to go get. So he gets his dad, and the funniest thing is in his first round, he's on the fourth hole, which was 13, and he's stepping into his approach shot, and he starts to get over the ball, and his dad says, just don't overdo it. And Jordan starts laughing and kind of steps off the ball, and he turns around and he says, you know, Dad, there are one or two things you don't do as a caddy, and one of them is tell me what not to do right before I hit a shot. And his dad looks back at him and says, well, you overdid it on 11. I just didn't want you to overdo it again on 13. And, I mean, everybody's dying laughing. It was like, it's a great – you know, it's one of those fun things with your dad. And Jordan said, you know, I didn't overdo it. It was great. But you know, that's – to me, that's – I love seeing things like that happen when guys get to have a special week with their dad on the bag or, you know, Justin Thomas's dad is so involved and you see him all around. I mean, it's – to see the emotion between a father and son, and you know, you and I have talked a lot about on the show what golf means to us. You know, obviously I grew up playing with my dad and always wanted to beat him and never could. And it took him just basically getting older because I was never really that good. Jeff Barker, our weekend guy, talks about it a lot with his dad too, about how he, you know, he finally beat him and rubs it in his face and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, you know, that's what this is all about in so many ways is the camaraderie you find with your dad and in playing the game. And it was just kind of a special moment for Jordan this week to get to do that.
Yeah. You know, it's the timing kind of panned out well. We always keep asking what'll be the culmination of events or processes or, you know, factors that bring Jordan Spieth back to the champion that he was. You know, I don't think it's going to happen all in 1 week, but I mean, maybe a little bit, every little bit of different perspective that Jordan gets might be good for his game. I mean, we're talking about it going back to basics every time we talk about some of the things Jordan needs to focus on, you know, as we say it from the peanut gallery.
I was going to say, it's really funny when you and I say stuff about what Jordan needs to do, right?
This is what a multiple major winner should do from a couple of guys on the radio. Yeah. So yeah, let's say a disclaimer and say, this is not an expert opinion by any means, but I look at things like this and go, well, maybe this is an opportunity for Jordan to kind of get out of his head and have a different perspective, you know, because Greller's been in that, felt the same pressure too. I mean, the guys walk five feet from me, well, I guess these days, 6 feet from each other all the time. And they feel the same pressure. So I'm sure just as Jordan's been grinding and trying to find it, you know, and I've seen behind the scenes on some of these, whether it's been the coach player relationship or the caddy player relationship, and you know, where the eyes kind of bulge out and they say, we just need to figure something out, you know, and it, you know, one guy's not hitting any shots and the other guy's hitting all the shots, but the pressure can be the same. So, you know, this might be good. I mean, having his dad on the bag for a tournament or however long it needs to be, you know, could be a way that kind of breaks Jordan down and gets him back to basics. I mean, not the magic bullet by any means, but could be healthy.
I mean, you know, something's got to change at some point. Something's going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like, you know, we started this show a year and a half ago or almost 2 years ago in March. And I remember them even saying, this is going to turn around. It will. It's going to turn around for him. He's going to do something that's going to change the way he thinks about things or the way he looks at things. It's going to change. And it hasn't. And the fact that we're going on, not just from the start of our show, it was happening before that. It does make you wonder. It starts to make you question what will his career path look like? At what point does he have to make a completely drastic overhaul and take 6 months off? Or I don't know. I don't know what he has to do. He's had an awesome career to this point, and there's nothing. Again, it's just you and I having this conversation about this guy that's a multiple major winner and all those things. So I'm not trying to act like I have any of the answers, but it is an interesting discussion just to think about, you know, what is his next step? What is he going to do to get back on the right track at some point? And, you know, we'll see.
Exactly. We will see. And I think he's got a really good history at Augusta National of having comfort on the golf course, kind of finding some magic there, you know, having really good mentors, having spent a lot of time with Ben Crenshaw, getting to go to the champions dinners. I really hope that's another step in his road to coming back. I think it can be. I think it could come at a good time for him, you know. And I haven't listened to the entire Colt Knost interview that Jordan did, but his headspace seemed really good.
Yeah. Every time I see him in an interview, he seems like he's in a good spot. It's not, you know.
Right.
But, like, and I can't remember who said this, but they said they were watching Jordan on the range, and he would hit a shot, and they would go to the camera and look at every angle of it and look at the details of what he did and what he was doing and how he was doing it. Sometimes it's just going up and hitting the golf ball and not thinking about anything, and not – that seems to be when you're at your best, is when you're not thinking about it. You're just going up and doing it. And we'll see what happens with Jordan. Do want to get to a break here. You mentioned the Masters. We are we're 3 weeks away from the Masters,
right,
which is still just a bizarre world to even believe that's what we're talking about. But we've got a bunch to get to still. Some fun stuff going on locally and another big match coming nationally. And we'll talk about all of that. That's coming up. You're listening to Playing Through on the Horn.
The Horn. You're playing slow, so we're playing through. Hosted by Bob Ballew and Carl Nicholson. Brought to you by the PGA Tour Superstore.
Good morning again, Austin, Texas. Welcome back inside Playing Through. A really fun first segment, talking a little PGA Tour and Rory snapping clubs and Jordan having some fun with his dad and catching up on Carl's pool. So, we've had a really good good opening segment. He is Carl Nicholson. I'm Bob Ballew. We appreciate you spending some time this Saturday morning talking some golf with us. Carl, we do our best to promote as much local golf as we can. There are so many good tournaments in the area. Obviously on, what is it, Monday and Tuesday this week? Monday and Tuesday we have the Hannon Cup.
Right.
Last week we had Chip Gist and Greg Walling on to talk about their teams and how much fun is that going to be on Monday and Tuesday. Just a great event to honor Coach Hannon and everybody that's involved in making that happen does such a good job to make it a special event. There are some really good players this year. There always are, but it's fun to see the list of guys that will be participating. Mark Brooks will be on the professionals team, which is pretty cool. They convinced him to come down and play in the event this year. Former Texas golfer who had a remarkable PGA Tour career. And Omar Uresti is on the team as well. And Omar just went through, Carl, I don't even know how to describe this. I think it's so, all of it is so interesting to me. And it's been interesting for such a long time with Omar and what his, you know, he wins these events and people get mad at him for winning events and what's his real status or what's his, all those things. Omar Uresti is one of the nicest people you'll meet. He is kind and genuine. The people that have a problem with what he's doing seem to be in the minority because, I went and looked at his Twitter page. He won the Senior PGA Club Championship. And he set a 72-hole record, shooting 18 under. Qualifies him for the Senior PGA, but there are PGA, there's a difference in a PGA professional and a PGA tour player. And Omar was the latter for most of his career, but he also has PGA professional status. And, so he qualifies, but a lot of people get frustrated that because he played on the PGA tour, he's playing in these events. Now it's the law, it's the rule of the way this works, and he's following the rules. He's never done anything wrong on that front. But if you go, I did this. I went and looked at his Twitter page after he won. And he had, you know, a picture of him happy and winning the event. Or I saw a picture somewhere. But at least on his Twitter page, the responses to him were so classy and talking about what a good person Omar is.
Yeah.
That it was special to see that he responded to everyone. And that's the kind of person he is. So Carl, I'd love to get your take on this as well. I understand people's frustration, maybe, if they don't think it's fair or they don't think whatever, but sometimes guys, it's just life. It's if something's a rule, it's a rule. Omar's done nothing wrong. Omar's played his events and been a part of this. And I don't know. It's certainly a unique situation more than anything else.
Well, there's a couple of factors at play. I mean, so this perspective goes back to me back when Omar was in college. I was an intern at a small golf magazine based in Houston, and I had a directory of PGA pros. So sometimes I would have to double check if a guy was an A1. That's a club pro. That's like a Steve Tremere is an A1, a GM or a head golf professional in the PGA of America. That's an A1. So Omar is an A3 in that he plays, but he's got membership in the PGA of America. Just make a really simple distinction. He's also got status on the PGA Tour because he's got some eligibility in those events and some events that are sanctioned by the PGA Tour. So it's really two separate memberships. I mean, so if you played in the Twin Creeks Men's League, and you also wanted to play in the Cedar Park Banditos Golf League, I'm not gonna set anything on fire in your front yard and say you're a crook or you're a horrible person or you're all these coarse and unsavory things that are destroying the game. So that's one perspective of it. Is he's got two different memberships that he's a member in good standing of the PGA of America, which was who ran this event that he won, and now it gives him status into some larger events. And again, the biggest thing is that's the rules. I talked to I told him I wouldn't mention his name because I put him on the spot. A gentleman who played on the PGA Tour for a number of years throughout the 90s and early 2000s. And he said he doesn't blame Omar. He doesn't feel like he's gaming the system because that's the rule. Now, does he feel like whether it's folding shirts or teaching junior clinics or running some tournaments himself, there should be some due diligence asked of guys like Omar who want to take advantage of the status, want to play in those events? Hey, you know, Paul Stankowski was in that it was also in the field with that. There are a number of guys who have either won tour events or played on the PGA Tour that were in the field in this event. I mean, they're competitive. I mean, anywhere there's a purse and some bragging rights and some eligibility to go on to something else, I don't blame these guys. I mean, think of all the guys that were on tour in 1997 that if you look, you pick the random leaderboard from a tournament, 60, 70, 80 of those guys would be a good candidate for where are they now? They deserve a place to play. And if they play inside of the rules in the places that they have eligibility, that's great. I mean, I thought my tour pro acquaintance made a good point that would it be the end of the world if Omar had to do X number of hours of teaching junior clinics? I think everybody would feel great about that. That's not the current set of rules. He's not breaking any. I don't think he's doing anything that isn't in the spirit of the game. Maybe it feels that way to a lot of people, but all those people calling him names on Twitter don't make the rules. They're not going to get to make the rules.
You're getting all up in your feels, right? I mean, there's a guy that said, quote, life member, quote unquote, life member, played on tour forever. My guess is he's never folded a shirt in his career. Don't they think they should be eligible to play against working pros? And Omar responded, there are many levels. Those that are calling PGA professional shirt folders are certainly diminishing the job. Lots of hard work and time put in by them. So he recognizes all that. And the PGA's made changes. I mean, this is not anything new. I'll throw out a couple names at Twin just because it's funny to have this conversation. But Tim Petrovic and Chart Vanderwalt. Chart played on the European Tour forever, played a little bit on the PGA Tour. Tim Petrovic's having an unbelievable Champions Tour event, career right now. Had an unbelievable year on the Champions Tour. Those two guys play in our skins game at the club. Ryan Hodge, who's, I mean, Ryan will make seven birdies and an eagle when he plays. He plays in the skins game. So, I mean, what if you don't want to play in the skins game, don't play in the skins game. Like, it's, you know, it's make up your own game with your own friends if you want to do so. I think you can go a lot of different ways with different things. Like,
right.
It's just not a, it's, you know, there are a lot of people who can get upset about a lot of things for a lot of reasons. And this one just seems to be, if somebody who's following the rules and has really made an impact on golf, the way Omar has, I think, you know, it's hard to just shut him out.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. And strangely enough, I mean, I guess golf has to sometimes, you know, take the lantern into the night and search for controversy. Phil Mickelson gets a little bit about that, but he's eligible to, he's officially eligible to play the Champions Tour because of the age on his birth certificate, but he's accused of beating up on the old guys. I mean, he's 2-for-2 in PGA Tour champion starts.
So, what do you want? I guess the question, Carl, here's my question.
Yeah.
What do you want these guys to do? Do you want Phil?
Not
does
play?
Phil have to, does Phil have to be bad enough? Like, is it, you have to wait until you're bad to go
400 in the world on the world rankings? Is there a number?
That, you know, Petrovic and Chart, if they want to play golf on a Friday and there's a skins game, why shouldn't they be allowed in the skins game? Like, you're going to make them play their own separate game because they're pros? Like, with Omar, like, what do you want him to do? Does he have to go get his – he has to either, like, quit PGA Tour and then become a full-time head golf pro somewhere for you to be – I mean, it's just – you could go through this stuff. This is why the PGA Tour makes rules. It's why
players
have rules. And, you know, I just I don't know. I don't know what you want these guys – do you want Phil – what do you want Phil to do? Phil's going to go out and crush people on the senior PGA Tour because of the Champions Tour because of the way it's set up. But – so what? It's good for golf. Is it good for the game that fills in the headlines and bringing the Champions Tour into the headlines? Isn't that good for the game? Isn't that good for the Champions Tour?
You know, the people running those tournaments love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's why, kind of going down a level again, that's why I've always liked to either go to or at least see the leaderboard on the Texas State Open, because there's a lot of years where you might get, you know, 6 to 12 former tour players out there, and they might not win. They might make a run. That's the thing.
They might not win.
Yeah.
The whole point, like, you see their names down the leaderboard, and you're like, you know, I think, is it Paul Stankowski maybe that played in the tournament with Omar? And I think there were one or two former PGA Tour players that played in this event. Nobody's yelling at Paul Stankowski because he didn't win.
And again, that makes events like the Hannon Cup eminently, and you know, we're talking about match play, but the fine line between a really good amateur player that can just go lights out and make a bunch of birdies, a guy that spent some time on the PGA Tour, but maybe he's had some age, maybe had some injury, or maybe he's just, you know, at the peak of his game, and really good club professionals, like you mentioned, Ryan Hodge and Rufus Pihalba and these guys that can get into qualifying for PGA Tour events. I feel like there's a really thin line. I mean, obviously with the Hannon Cup, especially in match play, but lightning in a bottle. I think Chip Gist kind of put it really well when he was talking about Taylor Tremere. His very best is good enough to be out there every week, but he put it way better than I'm trying to put it. But the point was that he didn't always have his very best. But if he could play at his, you know, if he had his A game every week, it's good enough. Which, I mean, where you and I sit, that'd be nice to say. I mean, if you could say from time to time, when I do catch lightning in a bottle, it's world class, it's elite. I don't even know what that's like. I mean, I've made two or three birdies in a row.
Elite shots, right? Like, I mean, that's
right. Exactly.
If I had a couple good shots, I'm like, man, that was a fun round.
Yeah.
And it's funny because you mentioned that about injuries. You know, what if Tiger Woods had never come back from the back injury and he'd never you know, he had a shoulder injury, he could never really swing. I'll use Happy Gilmore as the example when they took away his long drive in the movie.
Yeah.
And he kind of became down on the same level as some of these guys. What if that happens? Like, what are they supposed to do? I mean, are they just never allowed to play in a tournament again? Are they, if they qualify for something, are they, you know, you're just going to boot them out? You're going to boot Happy Gilmore out just because he lost? I mean, I don't know. I just think it's hard because I understand why there's frustration. I just don't know that I agree with the frustration based on there are rules in place for these kind of things.
Exactly. And I think that's what all of the bodies have done. Within golf, obviously the PGA of America has been around a long time. They run a lot of events. They accept dues from a number of different types of members. It's a well-run organization. They've seen these things coming. I look at it as very interesting. I mean, look at the attention, Omar has brought to an event. Now, these people come from all over the country to play the Senior PGA Professional Championship, and you know you get to advance on to bigger things, you know, playing the PGA Championship and things like that. But they come from all walks of life. I mean, you know, and again, the PGA Tour has, or the PGA of America has to factor guys that, I mean, here's a trajectory: came up as an assistant pro, was an A1, got really good. Found a good coach, played really well. Now he's an A3. Now he's a PGA Tour member. Okay, lost his passion, whatever. He could go back and get his amateur status if he wants. I mean, so us trying to define somebody else's story arc,
right?
So it fits what we think looks right, is nutty because there's so many different ways. Like you mentioned, injury. Whether you hit a slump, you make a career decision. I mean, there have been guys that came off the PGA Tour just because they want to be with their families more.
I was just going to say that, just to go be with their family. And,
you know,
again, what's wrong with that? Like, what
is he disqualified from playing if he gets the fire back? I mean,
never allowed to play again. That's the rule.
I think we're so reactionary on social media, and I don't think we see the full picture now. We've only ever seen, and again, I don't know, Omar might do a bunch of junior clinics. He might, I mean, again, to break it down to just having to fold shirts or writing calligraphy on a scoreboard or pick the range or what, any number of these things that you want to attach to what you think a pro is. And that's the other side of it is the pro does so much more. I mean, he
right.
These pros and GMs, they run the business, they manage HR to a high degree. And a lot of the things could go beyond golf. So many guys have to get into the F&B side and the meeting side and so many things operationally, you know, and we picture them cutting out at 2:45 every day and playing, 18 or 27 holes. And it's not always the case. It's not always glamorous. So,
no.
To try to define things in little boxes from either side of that equation, this doesn't do it much justice. Doesn't really go anywhere.
Right.
Omar's following the rules. We bring up should he put on clinics? Should he do something more in the spirit of what we think is a PGA Club Pro? If he's going to play in something called that we would give the moniker the Club Pro Tournament, the PGA Club Pro or the Senior Club Pro. Maybe we're just getting too stuck on labels. I feel if he's within the rules and he's not going, doing any bizarre things, he's not, injuring, he's not breaking his hand. So he can get an exemption for something that he shouldn't have. Come on.
Let's hope that's
let him, let him play. He had to hit all those shots, make every putt. And that's the one thing we haven't talked about all the time we've been talking about and all the jackhammers on Twitter have been talking about. How about the state that Omar's game's in?
Yeah.
You know?
He has stayed in consistently over the last, like, 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, it looks like it's trending as good as it has in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, he's done well. He's contended. He's won these events and contended these events before. But – I think it says a lot about the quality of his game. That's the one thing maybe we should focus on more is where can it lead him? Maybe it's a moot point if he becomes a week to week guy on the Champions Tour and maybe wins one, comes to San Antonio or comes to Houston and wins in his home state, then it's a different story. But I can't put the black hat on Omar Uresti.
No, I agree. I'm with you, Carl. Before we hit this break, I do want to mention one more thing. Last night was the big Save Muni Foundation event. Just wanted to say congratulations. You know, they had a virtual event with Sergio Garcia, Ben Crenshaw, and Vern Lundquist. And the hosts were the incomparable Ed Clements, who everybody loves, and Angela Garcia, Sergio's wife and longtime Austin resident. And she's done tremendous things for the game of golf as well. Steve Weiner and everybody involved with Save Muni that they continue to make this push. I just think it's admirable, and everybody deserves a huge round of applause for what they're doing, trying to save Lyons Municipal and keep that place the gem that it is. It really is a special place. And anytime you go out there, you think about Ben growing up there. You think about what this place means to Ben Crenshaw, and it's pretty special. So. A big congratulations to everybody involved in making that happen. Everything's been virtual, and so it's very interesting to see all of it unfold. But a big congratulations to all those guys. All right, when we come back, Carl, just want to say one thing: the match 3 is coming, and I've got a really really hot take. I know everybody loves hot takes right now. I've got a really hot take about the match 3. We'll tell you who's playing in it and what my hot take is. And that's coming up. You're listening to Playing Through on the Hole.
You're playing slow, so we're playing through. Hosted by Bob Ballou and Carl Nicholson. Brought to you by the PGA Tour Superstore.
Welcome back to the final segment of Playing Through on the Horn. He is Carl Nicholson. I'm Bob Ballou. Another fantastic segment there, Carl. I'm glad we got a little passion going for what we think about, what PGA Tour players are and aren't allowed to do after they decide to hang them up. or still have status and still play.
Hard enough to get to that level. And we don't do this in any other sport. Again, let's not have another Omar segment, but if somebody wants to come out of retirement, we don't, wait a minute. Did he check his status? Did he file, golf is just so unusual in so many ways. And it's so special in so many ways, but it is easy to lose perspective, and hopefully we find it from time to time.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you can look at it a bunch of different ways. I'm looking at it from a rules perspective. I'm not looking at it from, if Mike Tyson comes out of retirement and comes and fights in Cedar Park against someone, I mean, maybe that's a little unfair, but it's also a very different sport with their very different rules.
Right.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting. None of those guys would ever do that either, because if they lose, it's a total lose-lose situation. If you lose, it's the end of the world. If you win, you're supposed to win. So whatever. All right. Here's it. It's called the match 3 is announced. Charles Barkley, Steph Curry will get their turn at this. And I believe it's Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning. So this will be an interesting event. It's obviously not going to be what the first two were in terms of
– Do they have to modify the scoring? Do we know anything about Phil giving shots? What do you know?
I don't, but here's my hot take. This will not be as riveting as the second one. I think the first one, I think everybody was pretty disappointed. When it was just Tiger and Phil, they went head-to-head at Shadow Creek. I think everybody expected a little more out of it. The second one was better because we just wanted golf. We were dying for anything at that point. And it was fun. I mean, it was a good deal. I think everybody enjoyed it. What I don't love about this, I think it'll be entertaining in terms of, Barkley's great. Steph Curry's been great in the moments that he's had as just a guy that can talk. Peyton's a little awkward, but he's still funny enough, and Phil will talk trash, so that'll be fun. I am worried about the event in terms of the actual golf itself, because Charles Barkley is so bad.
Right.
That I don't know how you get through this event watching all of his shots. I mean, it's funny when you see it a couple times on a YouTube video, or you kind of make fun of it or whatever you do. You got to watch Charles Barkley play 18 holes. I think that's going to be rough. I really do.
He says he's gotten better and he's eliminated some of the hitches. We'll see. It's unusual. I mean, so is the gimmick that Phil's so good, Phil's a pro.
Peyton's like a whatever, one or two or three or whatever.
Right, and Steph the same. Steph's just as good, sure. Good or just as good or better. And Peyton acquitted himself nicely in the event.
Absolutely.
Back earlier in the spring, that was.
I would think
really
it would have to be like Phil and Charles against Steph and Peyton. I don't know. I don't know how you do this if you're not.
That's the teams. But do Charles is it interesting because Barkley's scores have to count? Do they have to count both scores on some level? Is there some sort of handicapping or strokes being given somehow? I don't have my head around what it is, but it'll be interesting to see them trash talk. I mean, whether Steph or Peyton is the better guy in that group. So say he and last time they let Peyton Manning and Tom Brady play the up tee. So say Steph and Peyton can go shoot 77 on TV, nerves, what have you. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
Phil's going to shoot, you know, Phil's going to have a dozen birdie chances. I mean, he's 20 shots better than, and he might be 40 or 50 shots better than Barkley. I don't know. The intrigue is the personalities. The intrigue is not the golf. And I think right. What I'm worried about is it's a shaky premise for a golf match.
I think until they release all the details, we won't know. Maybe there's something they have planned for those kind of things. Maybe if Barkley goes beyond par, he just picks up and talks. I mean, something like that would make sense. But I just think that's my hottest take I can give you. I know we're running out of time here. That's the hottest take I can give you is if we have to watch Charles Barkley play 18 holes of golf, I think that'd be difficult in terms of actually watching the golf. I think he's as entertaining. He's my favorite person to watch. I love the NBA on TNT. I'm not trying to take anything away. I think it'll be great, but I just think in the end, it's going to be hard to watch Charles Barkley play 18 holes of golf.
I think so. I mean, it's not television if it's something that makes you look away constantly. And right. that's the real possibility with Charles and his swing. It's hard to watch. You don't want that in your head because you got to go swing a club at some point. Don't want any of that in your head. Some of those swings
I want Rory McIlroy swing in my head. I don't want Charles Barkley swing in my head.
Fred Couples or Rory all day long.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Well, we are out of town. That's another edition of this. And Carl, with the Masters coming up, we're going to have to dive into that over the next couple of weeks.
We're going to have to go heavy with some good guests. I think we've got a few aces up our sleeve we can call on. It might be time to go ahead and start doing that.
I love it.
Get some Masters fever in November. That's a whole new sensation.
It's going to be fun to watch. Hey, this is always fun. Appreciate you guys spending an hour with us on a Saturday morning. Obviously, coverage of Texas football later today on the Horns. Hope you'll stay with us for that. In the meantime, he is Carl Mickelson. I am Bob Ballew, and this is Playing Through. Go out and make a bunch of birdies, everyone.